If you have ever found yourself caring for people, getting into like work and things, and finding that you're losing yourself through all of it. Well, guys, I'm going to have a special guest here that we're going to try to unpack this to help you find yourself again in the places you felt like you've lost yourself. And to do that, welcome to the show, my new friend, Marie Smith.
Hi.
Hey. So, Maria, I'm so grateful that you're here. So why don't you take the next 60 to 90 seconds to let people know who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Marie Smith. I am a mindset coach, or I call myself a mindset coach. I'm a certified health and wellness coach, certified life coach, and a certified personal trainer. And I'm a mom of five, and I feel like that should be a certification all on its own. But no one has given me a certificate for that yet. I bring women together so we can transform in community. I really believe in the power of community and having that support and accountability as we move through life. I think we were made for community. God brought us into this world, not as little islands, right? We're brought into families and into communities. And I am a big believer in moving through life that way.
So thank you for coming on the show. And as I said in the intro, like we're going to unpack some stuff that you and I talked about in the pre-show, you know, losing ourselves. Cause as a mom at five, you had mentioned you lost yourself, who Marie was in having all your kids and doing all your work. And now we find out you have your mindset, life, personal trainer, mom five, like all of this stuff. And so, but before I want to get into that, a question just really pops in my mind because of something you just said, like you're here to help community, women particularly, to get in community, stay in community. And community is a big thing for me. So let's start off this conversation and we'll navigate it through. But let's start off the thing with, what have you found has been some of the barriers to being in community?
I think I've talked to women and men too. I do work with men also in some of my group coaching. I feel like we, as grownups, it's a little bit harder to make friends because when we're grownups, we have all this life behind us where we have, you know, all the different masks that we put on because we're trying to fit in, as opposed to when you're a kid and you show up to the playground and you're like, hey, do you like swings? And the other kid's like, I like swings. You're like, cool, we're best friends. Let's go swing. Like it, you know, it's just so much easier. As a kid, you can just show up as yourself and be yourself and like the weird things that you like. And the other kids are like, cool, this kid likes weird things, whatever. That's just who they are. And then as grownups, we're afraid, you know, we've been somewhere along the way, someone has made a comment about it, or we see something online making fun of it. And we're like, oh, that's something I really like. And so maybe it's a little bit harder to find your community, to find your people. Like you hear people say all the time, like, I just haven't found my people yet, right? Like, where is that community where you can just show up and be accepted and accept other people for who they are?
Yeah, I think I love that. Hey, I like swings, you like swings. And the adult version should be, hey, I like Jesus, you like Jesus, can we be friends? Like that should be like the adult version. Or like, I'm a gamer, are you? Like, love that. I love that because that's such a simplistic way to really start to make friends around, you know, similarities and stuff. But it does bring up some thoughts. And one of the thoughts is like, you know, we've been through trauma. We've been through a lot of trust issues. And you're right. It's so simple as a kid. So when somebody's looking for community and they're trying to, I think you even mentioned it, like they're just feeling like they belong. They haven't found their people. What would you say to the people, and I'm sure you've talked about this through a lot of your coaching, what would you say to people who are trying to find their place, trying to find their community, but have been through so much that they may not even recognize it if they found it?
That's an interesting, I think you have to know who you are. I think you have to have, you maybe need to do a little bit of work. And whether that is, you know, spending time in prayer or meditation or in your journal, like really just kind of asking yourself those deeper questions of, you know, maybe you could start with something simple of like, what's important to me? Like, what are my values? I was actually on a call a few weeks ago in a group that I'm in, and we were talking about how someone famous, I can't remember who, would say, like, if you want to know your values, don't tell me your values. Show me, first off, show me your values, and you can show me by what you spend your money on and where you spend your time. And so often the things that we say are our values, if you look at how we spend our time, so we were speaking specifically about like the environment. Like I say that taking care of the environment is a value for me. And so I recycle and I try not to waste. And at the same time, I also order things off Amazon and will pay for, food to be delivered to the house because apparently comfort and convenience are also two of my values. But who wants to say that? What are your top five values? Comfort and convenience. Like, no one wants to admit to
No,
that,
they
right?
don't. But it's I
I
love the
think.
honesty. I love the honesty about that. But go ahead and continue.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think doing a little soul searching and figuring out, like, okay, what really are my values and am I living those? And so, if you can recognize that, and if I'm not, like, if I'm not living these things, really deciding, so is that important to me? And if I do decide that, yeah, that is something I aspire to, like, I aspire to, being someone who doesn't have a lot of clutter, who's living a more simple life, or I aspire to be someone who is sees Jesus in everyone that I meet. But am I really, or am I making judgments about every person that I meet, right? And if I'm not living up to that aspirational me, that higher self that I want to be, then what am I going to do about it? Do I just say, oh, well, I guess that's just not who I am? Or do I find, a coach to help me with that, or a therapist to help me with that, or a support group, or I think doing that work to figure out who you are is going to be helpful in recognizing your people.
Yeah, I think that's great. And as for you guys who are listening, doing what that is could hire a coach. There's going to be self-worth. And some of you guys may need therapy. And I just want to make that mention because, as you guys know, we do talk about mental health on this show, and therapy is not a bad thing. So if you're a Christian and you have something against mental health therapy, you may need to get with Jesus because it's not a bad thing. But I do always want to make note to that because I don't know who's listening and when they're listening, and we want to make sure we have the full gamut. And I love what you're saying. And know who you are is so important. So let's tie it back around to the when with our intro, because that's a great segue, because you're like, you need to know who you are, but Maria lost who she was at some point. So take us down the road there. How did you lose yourself? And then we'll get to the parts where we start finding ourselves again, but let's start with the beginning of that story.
So the beginning of that story actually starts a lot, like probably 15 years before that point where I recognized what had happened. And my mother was diagnosed with cancer when I was in the eighth grade, and she had surgery and then chemo, and then she was in remission for about a year, and then it came back, and then she had some more radiation. And then it came back, and she pretty much had cancer off and on for 8 years till she died. And she died 3 days after my husband and I got married in her hospital room. My mom was a typical martyr mother. Like, she did everything for us. It was very much she gave, not that she didn't, do things that she enjoyed also, but if anybody had said, what does your mom like to do? The first thing I would say is she likes to be a mom. Like, she likes to take care of us. She loves babies. Like, that's, and she did like to travel and she did like to volunteer, but she was very much of service all the time. So that was the example that I had, was when you had kids, you gave your all to be a mom to them. So fast forward, my husband and I have our first two. We were living in Illinois, then we moved to Nashville, had three more. And I was not working at the time. I was I hate to say this, but this was my mindset at the time, not anymore. I was just a mom. Like, there is nothing that is, more infuriating than to hear, like, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Yeah, you're working 24 hours a day, 8 days a week.
No joke, no joke.
But that was kind of how I viewed myself at the time. Very different view now. And so, because I, in my mind, was just a stay-at-home mom, that meant that I needed to volunteer. I needed to be of service. So, once my kids got in school, I volunteered for everything. I started taking communion to the nursing home, which is what, my book is about. That, and like just these, every opportunity, if I could, someone's sick, someone's having a baby, I'm making them dinner, I'm doing all the things. And it kind of started to hit me when I saw a friend from college at a wedding, and he was like, "Hey, what's going on with you?" And I'm like, "Well, these," and I just told him what all the kids were doing. He's like, "Yeah, but what's going on with you?" And in my head, I'm like, "I just told you what's going on with me." Like, and so I kind of repeat in a different way exactly what I just said. He goes, "No, not the kids. What's going on with you?" And I just stared at him because I thought, I don't know. Like, there's, I don't know. And so I got to a point where I felt like I was doing so much, but I wasn't doing anything well. I wasn't a good wife. I wasn't a good mom. I wasn't a good daughter. I wasn't a good friend. Like, nothing. I just felt like I was doing everything at 25%. And as a high achiever, that felt bad.
Yeah, no
I
doubt.
like that. And so I started going to therapy, and it, she really helped me reframe, like, what are you doing well, and what is it, like, list all these things that you're doing, and which of those things actually bring you joy, like, and why are you doing all these things that don't bring you joy? Like, and so I started to learn about the power of saying no as a complete sentence, and recognizing that when I say no, it allows someone else to say yes. Because if I'm the one who volunteers for everything, then no other mom at school is going to get to volunteer. And other people want to volunteer too. And so if I'm always taking that, I'm not allowing them to step up and have that role. So that was kind of the beginning of my journey. And then stepped into coaching a few years later down the way after hearing the Holy Spirit call me to be a life coach, which was weird because I, number one, had never heard the Holy Spirit before. And number two, I didn't even really know what a life coach did. So that was an interesting call.
That isn't that's definitely an interesting call. But isn't it funny though that like you hear the Holy Spirit when you were able to let go of false identities?
Oh, for sure.
That, oh my gosh, that's so powerful when you think about it. So
It
did
was in
you
meditation.
good.
So it was when, like, I heard this voice in, I was on a retreat that I went on because I just wanted to not have to do anything for anybody for a weekend. And the theme that kept coming up during that weekend was that I had more to offer, which was interesting. I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to not do so much. And what was beautiful about it was that, yeah, I'm doing things, but they're not mine to do. They weren't in alignment with me and my work. And I don't mean my business. I mean my work, like what I was sent here to do, what I think God was calling me for. And so when I could finally turn off that and be still and be quiet, then I could hear it. And then I thought, God, I wonder how long God's been trying to get a hold of me. And I just was sending a busy signal.
Quite a while, probably. So, I mean, 'cause that's usually what happens. It's like we finally, when we get quiet, it's like, oh, there you've been. And we realized I've been the one that's been all over the place.
Of
And
course.
so you had so much to say and so many things to unpack here, and it's so I love it. I love it. So, but I one of the things that really, out of curiosity, did you find that you like in your journey before you heard God and before you got your revelation of I've been blind. We'll unpack that in a second. But did you find that you were taking on that you use the word martyr mother as the term used for your mom? Did you find you took on that identity, or did you have like something else you were believing, trying to run from your mother's identity and ended up doing the same thing? Like, what does that look like?
No, it was definitely this is what moms do. Like when I was a little girl, all I ever wanted to be was a mom. Like
Right.
my parents kept foster babies from the time I was 4 till I was in 8th grade when my mom got sick. We kept 30 foster babies, and we would keep them for about 3 weeks before they came home from the hospital to us, and then they would get adopted when they were about 3 weeks old. And like I loved it. I mean, like I just loved taking care of them and helping and all of that. And I'm the youngest of 4, so I'd never had younger siblings. So it was kind of like I got to be the big sister for a little while with these little ones. No, it was definitely like this is what moms do. Moms stay home, moms take care of their babies, moms, volunteer for all the things. Moms are and but in that, I didn't know what I liked. I didn't know who I really was, or I didn't even entertain the thought that, I could work and be a mom. And even when, like, I started, I was a school teacher before I had kids. I always say back in my former life, I was a school teacher. And then I started working as a group fitness instructor and then a personal trainer when my youngest, or no, that's a lie, when my fourth was little. And even then, in my head, I was a stay-at-home mom because that was the most important thing. Like that was to be in that role. And so, but now I have a different view, which is, I can do both. I can show this example that I'm a person. I'm not just a mom. Like I am Marie. I have interests. I have, desires and aspirations and dreams. And I can live those out. And I feel like that example that I'm giving my kids now of, showing up, I'm babbling, but I'm about to like showing up in my purpose, which is to me to be of service and to be inspiring and motivational. I can show up in my purpose always, regardless
Absolutely.
of what job I'm doing. Like my purpose is not my job. My purpose is my beingness. It's how I show up. And then my job is whatever coat I put on that day, whether that's the job of mom or friend or coach or trainer or speaker or author or, like it shifts. Did I answer the
You
question?
did. You were good. Hey, listen, you're good. And you're not battling, you're going with it. So don't worry. I will stop you if we need to. But this is
Okay, good.
it's good stuff because so then this brings up another question for me. Like, okay, so you had just said, I have always wanted to be a mom. Like that was something you really want. But we started the episode was with the negative mindset that you said, hey, this was a negative mindset that I was just a mom. And
Right.
so how did you navigate the tension between those two feelings and ultimately shift your mindset? Like, what are some practical things that really helps you kind of meld those and be okay?
Well, part of the trying to not be just a mom was all that volunteering, was proving myself that I definitely tied achievement to worth. I tied productivity to worth. And if you have that mindset, you're going to be burnt out because you're never going to stop trying to be productive and doing. Like you're going to be stuck in that. And so I think part of what helped me in my mom had breast cancer, and I am positive for the BRCA2 gene. My mom was 37 when she had me. I was 37, almost 38 when I had my youngest. And when it was after he was born that I found out I was BRCA2 positive. And so I looked at my husband and I said, I don't want Francis to be getting married in my hospital room. I don't want that for him and for my kids. And I'm going to get emotional. But, they never knew my mom. My kids have only known her through my stories. And so I want to live to be 100. I want to meet all my grandchildren. I want to carry them on my back. I want to play with them and do all the things. And so it's important to me that I am healthy and here for that. So in 2016, I had a double mastectomy, hysterectomy. I got rid of everything that might try to kill me. And that mindset of shifting into that care for myself, accepting help, that was really difficult for me because, like I told you, I'm the one who was always doing all the things. Like, mom's in charge, right? Well, after you have surgery and you can't lift your arms and you're not allowed to lift basically anything more than your coffee cup and your fork to your mouth, you have to ask for help. And that was really difficult for me. And my sister said something that helped. She said, when you don't allow people to help you, you are robbing them of the grace that God would give them for doing so. And I'm like,
Absolutely.
well, shoot, I can't get in the way of God's grace. That is, that's not
No,
okay.
that's not okay. I going through a lot of trauma in my life. I became overfunctioning and hyper independent. So asking for help was very hard for me too. And it comes back to one of those things of needing to control certain things so that,
Oh, yeah.
the whole thing. And I remember my pa a pastor of mine back in 2005, somewhere around there, maybe even four. He actually sat down with me and same thing, said something very different. He says, Jim, whenever somebody's trying to help you or do something for you, he says, you rob three people. And I said,
Oh.
three? He says, yeah. He says, you rob yourself of being blessed, you rob God of blessing you, and you rob God who God's using to be a blessing to you. And it opened my mind and I was like, okay, I don't want to like get in the way of people, like you being used by God. So yeah, no, right down with that. And that was a story that stuck with me. Like it really did. So then it comes into like, so you have an incredible story, and the fact you even went through a lot of those surgeries to just get rid of everything that may, kill you or things like that. What part of this in your journey on health, changing your mindset, learning to say no, which we will get back to the no statement in a second. What part of this was being led by God, and what part of this was being led by fear, and how did you navigate that those conversations?
I mean, of course there was fear, right? Because I know, like I lived the experience of seeing someone live with, suffer from, and die from cancer. So there was that fear of, I don't want that to be me. But it was also empowering because, thank God, science, right? Like we have all this knowledge now. And it's, even, and that was 10 years ago, and there's even so much more now with, all the, Western medicine is wonderful. And not that I don't rely on the power of prayer and also, like, basic, taking care of yourself, drinking water and eating healthy food and moving your body and sleeping. And, this is, I teach this, right? Like,
This is what I do,
this is what I do. Like, this is what I encourage people to do too. But I was also so thankful and felt so empowered that I had a choice, right? Like, my mom didn't know that she was BRCA2 positive. My mom didn't know, there just wasn't. My mom was in a time where, like, we were all told that margarine was better than butter, right? Like, we're things were different. Like, we just didn't know then what we know now. And so it felt very empowering for me. I definitely prayed about it. That's I kind of glossed over that, but there's definite. I am Catholic. I'm a faithful Catholic. I go to mass every week. Like, this is, God is definitely a part of my life every single day. And so I think through prayer, I just felt very at peace with that decision. It did not feel, it did not feel like I was just grasping at anything to help. I thought I felt empowered and confident and very, at peace with that decision because while I'm not just a mom, right? That job that God has given me and called me to motherhood, that vocation, it's important. And I can't do it if I'm not here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you're not here, your mission's over, you know? So I love that, and I love the intentionality that you have. And I think that's something that just needs to be acknowledged, because everything you're doing is with intention, you know, through the prayer, through intention to I want to be, so therefore I will do. And I think there's a lot of people that miss out on that because they're always either fear driven, or they're just sitting back trying to wait for everything that God says and won't do anything. And it's somewhere in the middle that I think we should be able to say, okay, God is leading. Here's my first step. Let's be intentional. I do have some fear, but we're going to do it. And I think you emulate that very, very well. So I want to acknowledge that first and
Oh, thank
foremost.
you.
Yeah, because this is, it's just, you definitely have an inspiring story. And I'm sure the people that are in your world or people you're coaching and stuff are very, very blessed to have you. So let's roll back around, because I know the things that people struggle with know. Okay. And as we start, kind of landing our plane and stuff like that, I want to kind of hit this up. When we do are needing all the things, to be the martyr mom or stuff, we're like, I'm gonna do, and it's almost a codependence. It's almost like I need to be needed.
Oh, for sure.
How hard was it for you first to start saying no? And then what did you do in order to find acceptance in your no?
Well, let me share this story. So I was training for a half marathon. This was 2015, early 2015. So my youngest was 6 months old, 7 months old. And I needed to go for a run. Like I was trying to get that, but it was 5 o'clock. I needed to get dinner started, all this. And I just said, like out loud, I was like, God, I really need to go for a run. And my husband looked at me and he goes, so go for a run. And I was like, yeah, no, but like, dinner. And he goes, okay, go run. And I'm like, so like, I'm just gonna leave. And he's like, yeah, like what, do what you need to do. And so I remember I went for a run and I was like, this is really weird. Like, because I was, as the martyr mother, I was figuring out, like, I would run at 5 in the morning before, or at 9 at night after kids were in bed, like before they got up or before they, or after they went to bed, so that I didn't disrupt anybody's flow. I didn't want anybody around me to be uncomfortable. So I lived in discomfort so that no one around me would be uncomfortable. It was not that I needed my husband's permission. He in no way expected that I made dinner every night, that I was, always there doing all the things. That's just what I did. So that's what I did. Like there was no, like, he expected it, or ever said that that's what I needed to do. Because God knows, if it were 5 o'clock and he needed to go for a run, he would go for a run, because he would just take care of himself and do that. So that moment was kind of eye-opening for me, that, like, the house wasn't going to catch on fire, everybody was going to still be alive when I got home. Like I could number one, have needs, acknowledge that I have those needs, and meet those needs. So that kind of was the beginning of, okay. And then coupled with therapy of like, okay, what is bringing you joy? All these things that you're volunteering for. Are you really the only person that can do those things? No, of course not. We're all replaceable in a volunteer world, right? Like it's, and so saying, I would try it like with small things of like, when the Sign Up Genius would come out, one of my friends was like, so don't sign up for 24 hours, then come back to it and see what's left. And amazingly, it was all filled. I didn't have to be the one to do it. So it was kind of like a slow roll into just flat out being like, no, I'm not doing it. It was more of a, I'm going to acknowledge that I need to do something else instead. Like, I'm going to say no to this so that I can say yes to this. And then allowing other people to step up and realizing that, like, by me not saying yes or no right away, by just like stepping back for a second, other people were gonna step up into that position. And then I started pausing. The sacred pause, I'm sure you've heard,
I
where
have.
you're asked to do something and you just give it a second. You take a breath, you kind of check in, like, why? It my instinct is to say yes, but why? Is it because I want approval? Is it because it's just my automatic is to say yes? Is it because I'm actually interested in doing this with the people that are there? Or do I feel like it's my duty and I have to? Like, actually asking yourself those questions before answering, even if you do end up answering yes, at least you're going in honestly with, yeah, I don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to, so I'm going to say yes. Okay, well, at least you're honest with yourself about it instead of, oh, I just love doing this. And then inside you're like dying because you hate whatever it is. And then you're bitter and you have resentment and, you know. You're not doing it with a servant heart. You're doing it with a very closed, hard heart. And that's not the way to show up for service.
No, and it's not. We have, in all things unto God and unto Christ, which is Colossians. And so, getting in there with not a hard heart, but a heart to serve, you're absolutely right. And I really appreciate the journey that you've been on. I really do. And in our pre-show, you mentioned that you have something for people when they're dealing with stress, because this is all stressful stuff. Every bit of it is stress. So why don't you share the thing that you had mentioned about stress and how it, helps people?
There's lots of things in my coaching classes and with my clients. Like, you know, I teach meditation and I teach journaling and using those powerful questions to kind of lead us to that point where we can, you know, go exercise, because getting, you know, we all know that physiologically we can get rid of stress that way. However, there are times when we are in a moment of stress and we need help right then. We can't, like, in the middle of a meeting or an argument, be like, excuse me, I need to go work out for an hour and write my journal and then I'll come back to this. And so I created a stress SOS guide. So it's things that you can use in the moment to calm yourself down and remove yourself from that stress, bring yourself back into the parasympathetic nervous system instead of that sympathetic fight or flight. And so if you will just text, the message would be SOS, and the number that you text it to is 66866. So put that in the two, put SOS in the message, and then it'll ask you for your name and email, and you send that, and I'll email you that SOS guide right away.
And I'll make sure to have that and everything else in the show notes, guys, for you. And but with that all being said, how do people find you?
So my website is goldenhourcoaching.com, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at my golden hour coaching. And you can always email me, marie@goldenhourcoaching.com, and I'd love to hop on a call with you or email back and forth and engage with you on social media. I'm on Instagram more than Facebook, but
So.
I do show up both places, but I admit that I show up way more on Instagram than I do on
It's funny because everybody has their preferences, and so
Facebook.
it's so funny to listen to, like, hey, I'm here more than here, but I do the same thing. So I have an Instagram that I'm trying to do something with, but I'm much more present on Facebook. So I totally get you.
Okay. We're the
Totally get
opposite.
you. We're the opposite. I totally get you. And then my wife doesn't show up on any social media, so that's even a thing.
And that's okay too.
Thank you for an incredible conversation, and thank you for going down some of these rabbit holes, because I find it very valuable, and I find it that everything that you were saying has a lot of value for people to reflect on, think on, and put some of it into practice. So thanks for being on The Unshakable Life. It was an honor to actually talk to you and to do this interview.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciated it.
And to you guys who are listening, thanks for making it this far. You are the true heroes of all of this, and this is why we do what we do. And with that being said, I'll see you on another episode. Thank you for spending this time with me on the Unshakable Life podcast. My prayer is that today's conversation helps you to build resilience, reclaim peace, and step with courage into your God-given calling. If this episode has encouraged you, challenged you, or impacted you in any way, could you do me a favor? Share it with a friend, leave a review, and hit the follow so you don't miss what's next. And if you want more tools and encouragement for your journey, head over to leadwithjim.com. You'll find resources to help you grow as a healthy, authentic Christian leader, entrepreneur, and creator. And until next time, remember, your foundation is Christ, your calling is unshakable, and your life can make eternal impact.
Find your truth.